four loads, four pallet loads of big bricks. My back is saying hello. So Romans 11, 9, 10, 11, remember, he's talking about Israel, telling us about the nation of Israel. And I want to go back and cover a couple things in verse 18. I happen to notice this. And the Bible is very precise. And he says, but I say, have they not heard? So somebody's hearing. And then it says, yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth and their words unto the ends of the world. Sound and words. Is that the Bible hint at how radios work and television and internet, where sounds or vibrations are put through wires, and then at the end the receiver converts those vibrations into words? That's how that works. So it's vibrating. A lot of things are going in heaven. I do believe we will not only see colors, we will hear them, because there's a vibration that comes off of them. So some people who study the idea of colors, you'll notice that fast food places, they have bright colors because that excites the appetite. So I thought that was interesting how the Bible just casually throws that out there, sounds and then words. And you know, we study a lot of alternative health, and there's a machine called Radionics. We have three of them now. And there might be some other stuff that's coming out that goes back to Tesla that's really fascinating healing techniques. But the radionics machine sends vibrations through the air, and in the machine we have, depends what size, which one we got, small one, big one, okay, and you put a person's hair sample in a well, in like a well that it has, or their picture. And when you send out these vibrations, because we have these dials, these vibrations go to that person's DNA. The DNA picks up the vibrations, and then the body's able to respond of healing in that area that you send those vibrations out. So Brent tried it on when we first got this. Brent was down in Costa Rica. Okay, and then Ronnie set his dials because Brent got the COVID down there. And so he set the dials, and then I texted him and said, you'll experience a fever for about an hour to 6 hours. So he's in Costa Rica. And so he turned the little machine on. And Brent calls me or texts me. He says, man, my fever spiked, and then it went for about 5 hours, and then it settled down. And that was clear down to Costa Rica. So that's interesting. So there's so much. This is a science. This is not a, you know, faith healing or whop somebody in the head or anything. But there's stuff that's coming out that's really amazing. Of course, you know, our fingers and how we've learned from Morris, that's amazing in itself. We've seen tremendous stories on that too. And plus, you know, that the types of food that we eat is a vibration. And your body takes that vibration and converts it to healing. And so I would dare say Brother Frank back there, if he would have followed the VA, I think you'd be gone. Oh, okay. But no, he did. You did a bunch of stuff, liver cleanse and all this herbs and stuff. And boy, he's doing really well. So that's a blessing. So we just need to pray and ask the Lord for direction. So, okay, now let's, yeah, one more thing. Ends of the earth. Where would that be? If the earth was like this, where's the end of this? Where's the end on this? Just a thought. Maybe the Bible's got something a little bit different. So, oh well, just a fun little... And the ends of the earth is found, I think, 30 times in the Bible. And that's where he's going to spread. He's going to send the Jews as slaves to the ends of the earth. They go all the way out. So that's a thought to think about for a while. That'll fry the brain. Okay, let's try 11. We're up to 11, chapter 11. So 9, 10, 11, God is telling the saints of Rome, okay, so since they're born again, then we can receive information from that. And he's describing Israel today in the church age, the nation of Israel today. So if you've never, I've been to Israel two times, okay, and they call it Holy Land, but I guarantee it's not holy, that's for sure. Okay, and you have like three or four different types of Jews in Israel today, three or four different brands, I guess you could say. Okay, and so what Israel is the Bible referring to? And he's referring to the Jewish remnant, a very, very small faction. So Romans 1, 11, verse 1, I say then, hath God cast away his people? Okay, has God cast away his people? The Catholic Church says yes. The Mormons say yes. The JWs say yes. Now British Israelites say yes. The Arians say yes. Steve Anderson out in Tempe, Arizona says yes. But the answer is, God forbid. That's the answer. Okay, and now all these groups that I mentioned claim that they are the new Israel. But then that creates a worse problem for them when we get down to 25 and 26. So has God cast away Israel? Okay, so does that mean just because somebody claims to be a Jew or an Israelite that they're in the program? No, it's got to be a matter of the heart. It's got to be a matter of the heart. Romans 11, 1, I say then, hath God cast away his people? Answer, God forbid. Okay, so how does that work? And then Paul says, for I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. The Benjamites were the best fighters of the tribes. Boy, could they fight. And then he says, God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. So he has not. But then he says this, what ye not what the scripture saith of Elias? Okay, Elias, New Testament spelling for Elijah. No different than John and Jonathan and Johnny and John Boy and all that stuff. And then notice how Elijah prayed, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel. He prayed against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thy altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. Okay, so there you could run back to 1 Kings chapter 19. Okay, so in 1 Kings 18, remember they had a 3.5-year drought. Ahab and Obadiah was out looking for water. Elijah came in their presence, okay, and Ahab is a typical leftist, blamed Elijah for the troubles in the country. He said, you're the troublemaker. And Elijah said, oh, no, no, look in the mirror, pal. You're the troublemaker. Okay, and so he said, you want to prove it? Let's have a contest. And so they had that contest with, well, if you want to go with a minimum, 450, but if you put them together, 450, that's 850. 850 against Elijah. People say that's unfair. Yeah, it is, because Elijah had God on his side. Okay, and then they poured that water on the sacrifice, and then lightning came down and hit that thing and licked it up. And then Elijah was real cut up. Okay, and so he got to behead the false prophets. Old Testament doctrine, they could do that under the Old Testament, not New Testament doctrine. And then there's a cloud coming up, and then Ahab got in his chariot and took the horse, and they were racing back, and Elijah outran them. Why the guy's, man, he'd be an Olympic dude. Now, he obviously cheated. It was like, you know, it was like the Spirit of God picked him up, you know. Sometimes there's a tornado or strong wind coming toward the farm, and Dad and Aaron was in the barn, and they were running to the house, and he said, I think Grandpa took two steps from the barn clear to the house. Okay, that one year we had like 100-mile-an-hour straight-line wind and took out several grain bins, some of the power lines, and 2 years later, almost to the day, it did it again, and it was something. So Elijah beat him back, but then he got discouraged. Jezebel put a hit out on him. She, you know, called the Jewish mafia and sent in some money and said, I want this guy dead. And so he went and hid. You have a good victory, often you get depressed. I'm not going to criticize him. No way am I going to criticize the guy. So he's in the cave hiding. Okay, and that's when he said this, I'm the only one. And the Lord said, oh no, we got 7,000. We got 7,000. And that's what the devil tries to do, is he tries to make you and I feel like we're the only ones. Okay, and that it's a tactic of Satan to make you feel you're the only one. Okay, and so in Romans 11:3, okay, he felt like he was the only one. But again, he was praying against Israel, not for Israel, because they needed to repent. And then verse 4, but what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Okay, Baal, that is the Old Testament name for Allah, or the moon god. Okay, it's a short name for Beelzebub also, or Satan. Okay, in the Old Testament will also include have not kissed him. So they kiss the feet and so forth and so on. And that kiss will take it to the mark of the beast in Revelation. Where the mark of the beast, if the beast is a leopard, and if you look at the spots on a leopard, it's in the shape of a rosetta, which is the lip print. And so the mark of the beast may be some supernatural kiss from the Pope or the Antichrist. And that's, you know, the number is something different, the mark something different, and the name is something different. And the ones who are doomed to hell are the ones who worship the beast. I think the mark is going to be forced on people. And if you read Revelation, where the word mark is found 8 times, the ones who are doomed to hell are the ones who worship and get the mark and worship. Because worship implies voluntarily acceptance. Or if they force it on them, that I think there's a remedy for them. Now, personally, I'm not planning on being around. Okay, so, but still, might be, and it might take it back to Naaman, who got leprosy, because the ones who get the mark will get leprosy, and then he got healed by the baptized or 7 times in the Jordan River, and that's a whole new thing. The Lord's going to have to show them that in the trib. Okay, so verse 5, he says, even so then at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Okay, of course, when you see the word election, they're going to do Baptist flips, you know, the Calvinists. Okay, election defined by the Bible will be reference to Israel being a servant, being servants of God. It is not connected to salvation. So even today, there's an election of grace, meaning there's a remnant of Israelites who will Once they discover the Antichrist is who he is, then they will come to Jesus Christ. Okay, so when you go to Israel today, okay, normally what you see in Israel today are secular Jews. Okay, many of them are atheist. Okay, then you'll see the ones at the Wailing Wall, you know, all that stuff. Okay, those are religious Jews, may or may not be sincere. Most of the time, I'm not buying into it. Okay, then you have fake Jews. Fake Jews are called Khazars or Ashkenazis. The fake Jews would be the ones running the banking system, the Rothschilds, the Bilderbergers, and the movie industry. Okay, that's a fake, and these fake Jews are ruthless. And then there's the Khazars. The Khazars, that's what Madonna was a part of. Okay, and the Khazars are full-fledged Satanists. So that's, you got all these different factions going on in Israel. Satan wants Jerusalem. You've got the Muslims want it, the Jews want it, the Catholics want it, and Satan wants it. So you got four major worldwide religions jockeying for that piece of land. And if that doesn't prove the Bible, I don't know what does. I mean, Jerusalem at the time of Jesus in landmass was smaller than Rensselaer or DeMott. Okay, in landmass. The wall, you can walk around that wall in an hour and 15 minutes. Okay, so walk around Lowell. I don't think it'd take you longer than that. The landmass of Lowell. And the only trees that you see in Jerusalem or plants are in big, huge pots. There's no grass per se. It's just rock and stones. And that's how it is. When I was there last, I was walking behind this guy, and he had, you ever see these mustaches that are, this dude had the biggest mustache I've ever seen because it went this wide. And I walked behind him. I was just amazed with it. And all these people coming this way, they'd stop and get a picture with him, another picture, and another picture. I'll take a picture of that guy. Man, he had to have a whole bottle of hairspray just to get that thing curled around. But that was, he was just walking by himself, and I was walking by myself. So that was kind of funny. It's kind of weird. Okay, so this election of grace. Okay, election of grace, that is, if you look at the primary definition and run it through the Bible in English, that will be the choosing of Israel to be servants. And then verse 6, and if by grace, then is no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is no more grace, otherwise work is no more work. So he's clearly saying that these Jews are not working to do this. It is the grace of God that is doing this. And the grace of God will run back 2,500 years to Abraham. Because Abraham had the unconditional covenant, and that covenant is still in play. It's still in play. That's a promise God made to Abraham. And then he gave an additional promise to David, which was unconditional. And the promise he gave to Moses was conditional. So you got three promises to Israel, particular Israel. And then there's a new covenant. So that makes four of the seven covenants in the Bible. So when you pick up the Bible, anybody sees there's an Old Testament and a New Testament. So that's a clue. There are two testaments. A testament is synonymous with covenant. A covenant is our word for contract. Okay, where two or more parties agreeing on something. Okay, and so a testament is a slight variation of a contract in that that involves family. And that's the word testament is the first time brought up in Matthew in the New Testament. The Old Testament uses covenant. So that new covenant with Israel is recorded in Hebrews. You know, go figure how easy it is. And so then verse 7, what then? Question, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for. What are they seeking for? Over there in chapter 10, verse 3, what are they seeking for? For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness. That's what they're trying to do. Okay, so Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. And the rest were blinded. And then in verse 8, you got the parentheses, but at the end of verse 8 is a completion of the sentence. The rest were blinded unto this day. So if you go to Israel today, they do not know the Bible. A lot of times people see the Amish and they see how religious they are and they think, oh, they know the Bible. They don't know the Bible. Okay, Jan was raised around the Amish. And her brother, Roy, and I, we'd go around, you know, to Amish hardware store. There's no lights in there. They have skylights. And then they'd have ceiling fans that operated under air pressure. So the thing would, you know, on a cloudy day, Roy would kind of razz the guy. He said, you need to get some lights in here. Oh, no. And then he tried to get him to talk about the Bible, and they wouldn't do it. You have to be born Amish. But like Calvinist, you got to be born a Calvinist. Okay, and so they, on a rare occasion, you'll find an Amishman knows a little bit of Bible, but that would be on his own accord. There were two Amishmen several years ago, younger men, Amishmen, that wanted to bring the English translation into the Amish, what do they call the little groups? Not sects, I don't know, they're little group or something, and they have certain sections. And if they don't like the elders of this Amish section, they pick up and move and go to another one. But there's two of them. One to bring the English Bible because they use Martin Luther's German Bible, and the young generation can't even understand it. And then these two also made professions of faith. They wanted other things brought in, and the Amish kicked them out. And there's a documentary coming out of Britain, Trouble in Amish Paradise. It's a pretty interesting documentary. And so I found the two guys when we went to Pennsylvania. I found where they live and went to their house, gave them a Bible. And so one of them, he was still confused. The other one, he was kind of enjoying the attention, seemed like, you know, the media attention. But it's interesting, you know, to talk to these folks. So in verse 7, Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for. The rest were blinded unto this day. Okay, that was unto his day, but the same is still true today. It's still true. If you would drop down to verse 25. Paul does not want us to ignore this. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Okay, so that's the time limit. Okay, and the fullness of the Gentiles will go in right in the middle of the trib, where they will trodden down the Jewish temple and all that stuff, because they're going to have human sacrifices in there and everything. And that's the fifth seal judgment. And the world has been doing this secretly. And so in the trib, it's going to be made manifest. Now, I don't know what the Lord is going to do before the rapture. I'm hoping something for our country, for our country's sake. But we'll just have to wait it out and see. Brother Frank? Yeah, the rabbi does not want the Jews to read Isaiah 53. It's forbidden. And Psalm 22, you're right. Yeah. And usually, you know, a psychologist says if they say don't read it, hopefully the Jew goes and reads it. Yeah. There's a Jewish rabbi in 2006 that made us, you know, he was like one of the top rabbis, I think probably top three rabbis. And he wrote a letter, and he wanted an official letter, and he said, I want you to open this 1 year after my death. So they waited and they thought, oh, what is this fine rabbi going to tell us? Well, he told them that I believed in Jesus Christ and he's the real Messiah. So it did. That went over like a lead balloon. He waited till I don't know if he was. Why'd he wait for a whole year? I mean, he was gone anyway. So I can understand if he waited 4 days, because they believe you got to hang around for 3 days. And then after the third day, you're gone. But there's another rabbi last year said that he is in direct communication with the Messiah and he will reveal himself shortly. So that's interesting. And some dude just came out about 3 weeks ago, 32-year-old guy, knows the Talmud, which isn't saying much because the Talmud is a counterfeit of the Old Testament. The Talmud is pretty raunchy. The closest place, if you want to read the Talmud, you need about 3 weeks. No, you need about 3 months, because it's 24 volumes. It's the rabbi's commentary on the Old Testament, and it's pretty bad. I mean, really bad, what they say. So, okay, so they're blinded. Okay, in the parentheses of verse 8. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear. Okay, so that is a quotation of Isaiah 6. That Isaiah 6 passage is quoted in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. So the first six books of the New Testament quotes that passage. And then Hebrews 5 mentions it also. So it's about Israel getting the truth so much, and they get dull to it. And so then it gets to the point where they don't even see anything. They're blinded. They're blind spiritually. And so that's a prophecy of Isaiah. And Americans are getting that way. With this canceled culture and everything, and this woke generation, they do not know American history. It is sad what about what's happening to our country. You know, years ago, I put an editorial in the Rensselaer newspaper because they talked about separation church and state, and I offered anybody some money to show me where it's found in our Constitution. And it's not in our Constitution. It's in the Soviet Union's Constitution. And if you read the original constitutions, like of Delaware, the only way you could become a public official, a politician, you had to sign and subscribe to an oath. And the oath was, I believe in the scriptures and in the triune God and in Jesus Christ, the Savior. Can you imagine that? North Carolina said the established religion of this state is the Protestant Christian faith. North Carolina. And North Carolina is, you know, generally speaking, they're going to have a Baptist church on every corner. But them Southerners, they're not like Northerners. You know, a Northerner will come to you with a knife in his hand so you can see what's coming on. Them Southerners are patching the back and the knife's going. That's in them mountains, in them hollers where they start arguing about stuff. But, hey, that's how it goes. Okay, so verse 9, and then here's an interesting, and David said, let their table be made a snare and a trap and stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back. Okay, if you would, let's go back to that one in Psalm 69. So David said that, and this is a prophecy. That is, we could take it practically speaking. This is often what happens to a nation when they turn their back on God. Okay, what happens to them? Psalm 69, verse 21. So we kind of see the context. Psalm 69, 21. David said, they gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Okay, doctrinally, who did they do that to? Jesus Christ on the cross. Okay, so a rejection of Christ. Spiritually, a rejection of Christ. What happens? Let their table become a snare before them. What do you do at a table? You're eating. Okay? That which should have been for their welfare.
Oh, I got all four food groups. It's for my welfare.
Let it become a trap. Okay? Then it says, let their eyes be darkened. Why? Because when a person is not healthy physically, they have no energy and they just can't move. If you watch the average American. Okay, and so what people think is a healthy diet, the standard American diet, is not a healthy diet. The Bible has all the answers in there if you just kind of weed through there and find it. Okay, there's a study, a China study. Okay, China studies a 20-year study of Chinese people who ate the typical Chinese diet, a scant diet, a lot of vegetables, a lot of rice, and then the Chinese ate the American diet, the typical American diet, and these had healthier lives, and these had all the diseases that Americans get. They think it's for their welfare, but it turns around and bites them. And that's why a person needs to be responsible what you put in your body. Okay? And so, you know, somebody going to tell me to, you know, take that shot over my dead body. And when my body's dead, then you can put a shot of formaldehyde inside me. Okay? And so, and then unless I use my other shot to, you know, bang, bang, to keep you away from me. And so, you know, side effects of medications is evidence that you've been poisoned. And so we're not against the medical profession, but we're against blindly following them. Just because he's got a white jacket doesn't make him God. So, and the average lifespan of an American doctor, last I checked, was 58 years. I don't think that's real successful. So the thing is we study animals and nature. We experiment with our body. Okay, and the one thing that I follow as close as I can is food combinations. Because one of the biggest drugs that's bought at the stores is digestive problems. And so if we start to study food combinations, then our body can actually assimilate what we're eating. And so a lot of issues with that. And, of course, the typical American diet is a bad food combination. So this is just something each of us have to decide for yourselves. You know, it could be like the older man, older woman, married couple, died, got to heaven. And he said in heaven, I would have been here much sooner if it hadn't been for them oat bran buns. But what if the Lord wants us to live longer so we could serve him more? Okay, and there's a guy named Frank Logsdon. Frank Logsdon was the brains of the New American Standard Version. He was the instigator. He was a pastor of the Moody Memorial Church. And he was the brains behind the New American Standard Version. And then he kind of got that thing going. He and Lockman Foundation. He got bad sick, but yet he discovered he could take care of his body. He got very healthy, got well. And then discovered through David Olaus Fuller, I think I made a mistake about the New American Standard. So he spent the remaining years of his life, because he extended his life by health, he used the remaining years of his life to travel a country to warn people against the New American Standard and say, get back to the King James. And if he would have died of that, he wouldn't have been able to right that wrong. So in Psalms, a general idea is a healthcare crisis is evidence of a spiritual crisis. That's what that's evidence of. And if you doubt that, go to Africa and see how long they live. Eating bats and monkeys and all these other things. You know, you get 20 years old, you have a midlife crisis at 20. in some of those places, because that's not what the body's intended to do. We got to find out the fuel that helps our body and to get energy. You know, let's say, you know, somebody got this car, you know, and the person says, oh, why, gas is so expensive and it's a liquid, so I'm going to put water in my gas tank, dilute it down, and then it has engine troubles. And you take it to the mechanic and he says, well, I found water in your gas. Oh, yeah, I put that in there because it was cheaper. I'm sure the guy's going to kind of look at her and see, you got a screw loose or something? Now, if you're really sharp on this, you can put some water in a mason jar and electrify it and allow the oxygen to escape and burn the hydrogen. But then I wouldn't let too many people know that, because some oil companies might come and take you out. You remember them days where they had 200 miles per gallon on carburetors? Anybody? I remember those. But those guys all got bought out by the petroleum companies. I tell you, it's something. The Bible's amazing. It's and all these things are kind of tucked in there. And the problem is, people approach this book, it's just a religious book. There's so much more to this book. It's just fascinating. It's amazing that God can put all this information for life in just 1,800 pages. Go in that room and start reading the Indiana statutes. That's for one state, 32 volumes in there. And then the federal statutes. And God can put it in one little book for the whole world. Isn't that amazing? That's something. Okay, so verse 11, he says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Fall, the implications are, is fall permanently. God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles. Praise the Lord. For to provoke them to jealousy. You know, that ought to provoke them. God is provoking them with us Gentiles. They know more Bible than you Jews do. You know, you're the writers of the Bible. You should know more. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Okay, their fullness, that will take place in the millennium. And then he says, I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. Okay, there's certain like parts of your body that you can do without, maybe a finger or something like that, an arm you can do without. You can't do without your liver, you know, and your heart and all that stuff. Politicians do without their brains, but, you know, that works. And so this would be one of them vital organs of the Bible, this verse. And this will give us more information where he says, I speak to you Gentiles as much as I am the apostle to the Gentiles. Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. And so that's our best source of doctrine, is Paul's writings. If you would, try Galatians chapter 2. The Bible covers 7,000 years of history. We're sitting at about a little over 6 or approximately 6 from Adam. And then if you throw in the gap, maybe another couple thousand in there. So, and then you throw in the millennium. So you're talking about 9 or 10,000 years of history, approximately, of the Bible. And so we know that all of it not aimed at to me. All of it's written for me, but some of it's not written to me. Galatians 2, verse 9. And when James Cephas, okay, who's that? Another name for Peter. James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me. They gave to me Barnabas, the me is Paul, the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, that's us, and they unto the circumcision. So then when you get to Hebrews in the Bible, then you have James, Peter, two letters by Peter, three by John. And those letters are generally about Jewish people. Why? Because of that. Circumcision. And so the safest ground for us as far as our doctrine being established is by the Apostle Paul. And that clears up any confusion. A lot of times people have confusion, and the answer is rightly dividing the word of truth. Don't have to add a word, don't have to change anything, don't have to run to Greek, Hebrew, Latin, Spanish, or anything. So, okay, so we got down to 13. We'll pick it up next time. Same bat time, same bat channel. So, any questions?